I can't think of a better thing to preach about on Family Day than to tell you how to become a member of God's family. So I preach a sermon this morning I've entitled, How to Become a Child of God. We're in John chapter 1 as our scripture reading, but I want to tell you a story from John chapter 3. John chapter 3, a familiar story to most of you. One of the Pharisees, a man by the name of Nicodemus, came to visit Jesus by night. And they had a conversation that has set the stage for many, many people to come to know Jesus as their Savior. Because it was during that conversation that we get the verse that's probably the gospel in a nutshell for most of us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night with a question. And the question was, what must I do to be saved? How can I find God? How can I enter the kingdom of God? And the answer that Jesus gave him is the answer that still applies today. He said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that answer puzzled Nicodemus. He says, I'm an old man. How can I be born again? How can I enter into my mother's womb the second time and be born again? And Jesus' answer to that question, is the answer that every single person this morning needs to understand. Because if you don't understand the answer, you must be born again, then you're going to miss heaven. You're going to miss righteousness. You're going to miss the relationship that God wants to have with every single person. So how do I become a child of God? We're going to go back to John chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 13, because in verse 13 is the answer to the question, how can I become a child of God? How can I enter the kingdom of God? How can I be saved? Verse 13 gives us a four-part answer. The first three things are things that won't work. The first three things are things that don't make you be born again. The last thing, it's just two words, of God, tells us that with verse 12. So we're going to start at verse 13. We're going to go back to verse 12. How do I become a child of God? How do I get born again? Number one, verse 13 tells us it's not by blood. It says, which were born not of blood. You know, we inherit many characteristics from our parents. Gary and Kim told me a moment ago that Travis and Mary have found out they're going to have a little girl. Going to be born in the month of December. And so I'm sure as what will happen in that family come along just a few days after that little girl is born, they'll begin to look at her and they'll say, well, she has daddy's eyes. Or she has mama's nose. Or she has grandpa's chin. Because we all inherit physical traits from our parents. Some folks here might not even know who their parents are, but I dare say, even if you don't know who they are, you have inherited some physical trait from your parent. Your eyes, your nose, your chin. We also inherit character traits from our parents. As we see how they live their lives, as we see how they operate in their sphere of existence, we as children pick that up. We as children notice how they live our life and we copy our mom and dad. I learned how to work from my dad. I learned how to have patience from my mom. And I'm glad that I learned those things from them. But one of the things that I did not get from my parents, one of the things that you did not get from your parents, one of the things that nobody gets from their parents is eternal life. Nobody is born into the family of God because their mom and dad were born into the family of God. It doesn't matter if your parents were godly. I don't care if your dad was a preacher and your mom played the piano every time the church was open. Just because they were godly doesn't mean that you are automatically born a child of God. I don't care if they were saints and obeyed this book day in and day out. It doesn't matter if they were good. I mean, it's good that you had good parents. It's good that they set a good example for you. It's good that they were saints from the fact that they accepted Christ and lived by that book. But the fact that they they were saved, the fact that they obeyed this book, in no way affects whether you are born again. In no way affects whether you are a child of God or not. You may have their eyes, you may have their nose, you may have their ears, or you may have their disposition, but one thing you do not have is their eternity in Jesus Christ. You are born, but not by blood. I was talking to a lady a couple weeks ago, and I asked her, I said, if you died today, well, are you sure you go to heaven? She said, yes, I am. I said, well, what do you base your assurance on? She said, my dad was a preacher, and my mom was the president of the WMU in the church that they went to. I said, that's wonderful. It's wonderful your dad was a preacher. It's wonderful that your mom was so involved in church. But did you ever ask Jesus to be your Savior? She said, what difference does that make? I said, it makes all the difference in the world. Because the Bible says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. It doesn't matter what characteristics or what your mom and dad were like. Doesn't matter that he was a preacher. Doesn't matter that she was the president of the WMU. That doesn't matter at all. What matters is what you do with Jesus Christ. I got to take her down the Romans Road, but I didn't get to see her pray. I'm still praying for her. I hopefully the gospel seed will take root and she will understand she's not born again by blood. Then that verse says, which were born not of blood nor of the will of flesh. Now what that means is that I cannot make myself a Christian by self-determination. I cannot wake up one day and said, okay, I've made up my mind from this day forward, I'm going to be a Christian. That doesn't work. I mean, I think it's good that people wake up one day and say, hey, I want to live my life in a Christian way. I want to do good. I don't want to do harm. I don't want to do evil. I want to try to live my life by that book. But the fact that you wake up one day and decide you're going to be a Christian doesn't make you a child of God. It doesn't give you a home in heaven. Our attention was diverted to England this week as the little prince was born. And you couldn't help but watch the TV or listen to the radio about, you know, when he was going to come and what he was going to be named and all that. And I was thinking about it. You know, I looked at how the queen and royalty lives. I mean, I could wake up one day and say, I want to become royalty. I want to be a prince as well. I could go to a tailor and have him make me a robe. I could start having you call me Duke or Lord or Your Highness. But you know what? Won't make me a family member of royalty. I will be no more related to royalty than I am now. I mean, I can get up and make that decision, and I can dress the part and even change my title to reflect what royalty is called, but in no way will that make me royalty. The only way that you become a member of the royal family is like that little boy named George, born to a prince and a princess. That's the only way you become a member of a royal family. And the only way you become a member of God's family is to be born again. You can't decide to do it on your own. You can't by self-determination say, I'm going to be a child of the King. Now you need to make that decision and let that decision drive you to what will make you a child of the King. But just deciding on your own will not do it, because it's not by blood. It's nor of the will of the flesh. Then it says, nor of the will of man. Nor of the will of man. That means no other man can make you a child of God either. There have been many, many times in my life that I wish I had that ability. I wish that I had that power. I wish I could bestow on other people the gift of God of salvation in Jesus Christ. I've talked to so many people that have rejected the Savior, and I just shake my head and it hurts my heart. How can anybody reject the love that Jesus showed? How can anybody reject the price that he paid on Calvary for their salvation? And sometimes I just wish I had the power. Hey, it doesn't matter what you decide. I am going to bestow on you eternity. I am going to bestow on you the gift of God. I can't do that. You know what? Neither can the Pope. He can't do it. the preacher of the largest church in the world, wherever that is, somewhere in Korea, or the Philippines, I think. He can't do it either. No man can bestow on another man the gift of eternal life. No man can bestow on another man the gift of salvation. I heard a story of a visiting preacher. He was an evangelist. He went to a church for a meeting. And while he was there on a Sunday afternoon, the church was having a membership meeting. They were examining different candidates to become members of their church. And the pastor asked this evangelist, said, "Hey, it's a short meeting. Why don't you just set in with us and see what goes on?" And so the evangelist said, "Okay, I will." The first candidate came. And he says, "I'm applying for membership in the church. My mom and dad have been members of this church for years and years and years. And I've decided that because they are, I need to be too." And there was an old guy in the back of the church that raised his hand and said, "Well, I want to ask you a question. Have you been born again? Have you asked Jesus to save you?" And the pastor, before the candidate could answer, says, "Hey, that's between this man and his God. That's none of our business." And they voted him into the church. And the evangelist took out a little piece of paper and he made himself a note: "Not by blood." The second candidate stood up. He says, "You all know me. I haven't always been what I ought to be, but this past New Year's, I made a decision. I decided to turn over a new leaf. I decided to do better. I decided that I needed to join the church." The same old man in the back of the church raised his hand, asked the same question: "Have you been born again?" The pastor said, "If you don't quit asking that question, we're going to ask you to leave. That's between that person and his God." They voted him into the church. The evangelist took out his pen, went back to that same piece of paper, and said, "Not by the will of the flesh." Not by blood, not by the will of the flesh. The third candidate stood up. He had an English accent. He says, I haven't been used to attending a church like this. I went to the state church in England, the Anglican church. I was baptized, in fact, by the Archbishop of Canterbury. I enjoy coming here, and I would like to become a member of your church." Again, that same old man reminds me of my dad. My dad was always the old man in the back of church that asked questions. That same old man raised his hand and says, "Have you been born again?" And the pastor said, "Now listen, if you ask that question one more time, we're going to ask you to leave. That's between a person and his God, whether they've been born again." They voted him into the church. The evangelist took out his pen, went back to that same piece of paper and said, "Not by the will of man." The fourth candidate stood up. He said, "You all know me. You know my story. I was a drunkard. I abused my wife and my children. I alienated them from me. And I just continued to sink deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. I had no hope. One day, about 6 months ago, I went to the bridge that goes over the river that goes through our town, and I stood on the railing of that bridge, ready to end my life because I had no hope. My life was falling apart. I'd lost my family. I'd lost my job. There was nothing good about my life. I had no way of escape, and I was ready to end my life. And the Salvation Army was there. They were having an open-air meeting just a block or two away from the bridge. I heard them singing that song, 'What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.'" And they just kept singing it and singing it and singing it. And pretty soon that song got into my heart. I got down off the railing of that bridge. I walked the two blocks over to where they were meeting. I heard person after person. Person stand, people just like me who had reached the end of their rope, who were ready to end it all, and said they came to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ made everything new. He said, when they gave the invitation that night, I fell down on my knees and I said, God, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve your love. But if you can do anything for me, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he said, since then, everything's become new. My life's changed. My family's back together. I got my job back. Everything's been new. I'd like to join the church. The same old man stood up in the back and said, I don't need to ask you. I know that you've been born again. Praise God. I vote for this one. The other three got into the church, but they didn't get into the kingdom. The fourth one got into both. He got into the church, but more important, he got into the kingdom because he was born again. Okay, so it's not by blood, it's not by the will of the flesh, it's not by the will of man, but that last two words of verse 13 tells us how. It's of God. Of God. How are you born as a child of God? It's of God. He tells us in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The him that's talking about in that verse, his name, the name that's talking about in that verse is Jesus Christ. He's the one. As many as received Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on the name of Jesus. You see, we're all like that fourth candidate. We may not be drunkards, but our life is full of sin. And again, sin is simple disobedience to God. Sin is not living by this book. This book says, thou shalt not bear false witness. We lie. That makes us a sinner. This book says to honor our father and mother. We disobey our mom and dad. That makes us a sinner. One sin makes us a sinner. The Bible says, if we break the law in one point, we're guilty of all. We stand before God. Even if we're just a liar or a disobedient child, we stand before God in his sight, just as guilty as a murderer, as a thief, as the adulterer. All of our righteousnesses in God's sight is as filthy rags. And there's nothing, I mean, the only thing that we can do is pay the price for our sin. But God loved us so much. He loved us so much. And we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. He loved us so much that he devised a way that our sins could be paid for by somebody else. That somebody else was Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when he hung on Calvary, God laid on him every one of our sins, every one of our transgressions, every one of our iniquities were laid on Jesus Christ. And on Calvary, he paid for every sin. He paid for every sin. Every single one. Every single one of mine, every single one of yours. He paid for every sin of every single person that's ever lived. Every single one. I mentioned in Sunday school, I believe when God laid the sin on Jesus Christ, that's when the sun went dark. For 3 hours, it refused to shine. I believe that that's when God turned his back on his only begotten son. That's when Jesus suffered our hell for us. He cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A holy God could not even look on his son as he bore the sins of all mankind. That's what hell is, separation from God. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. On the cross, during that time that Jesus bore our sin, he suffered our hell for us. He paid the price for our sin. And if we receive that gift, if we receive it, if we believe on his name, Paul and Silas, in answer to the Philippian jailer's question, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Here's what it means. I believe that when Jesus died on Calvary, that he paid for my sins, all of them. And I believe that if I ask him, he will give to me that gift of eternal life. Forgiveness for my sin, atonement with the Father, at one with the Father, restoring that relationship that God wants to have with me. That's what it means to believe on Jesus Christ, that he died on Calvary for my sins, and if I ask him, he'll save me. It's that simple. I mean, the simplicity of the gospel is that we're all sinners. Jesus died for our sin, and if we ask him, he'll save us. Every little child can understand that. Every adult ought to be able to understand it. It's not by blood. It's not by the will of the flesh. It's not by the will of other men. It is of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Hey, Nicodemus, you don't need to enter into your mother's womb the second time, but you need to be born of God. Born of God. And so do you. And so do I. If you're here this morning and you've only been born once, then you face a Christless eternity. You face an eternity apart from God. You face an eternity in hell. You need to be born again. You need to be born the second time. You need to be born into the family of God. And you do that by asking Jesus to save you. Just asking him to save you. Simple childlike faith. I'm a sinner. Jesus, I believe you died for my sin. I ask you now to save me. If you ask him, he will. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. If you've never opened the door to Christ, he's knocking this morning. He's calling this morning. And what he wants you to do is open the door and let him in. Would you do that this morning? I can't think of a better day to do it than Family Day. 2013, July 28th, 2013. 12:02 in the afternoon. I can't think of a better time to do it than right now. Would you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Father, thank you that you made it so easy. It wasn't easy for you. It cost you a great price. But to us, there's no cost. Because Jesus paid it all. And I pray if there's just one person here this morning that's never asked Jesus to save them, they would understand that they're under the penalty of sin, and that penalty is to be separated from you. And the only hope they have is to come to Christ. The only hope they have is to come to the Savior. And so I pray, Father, right now, Holy Spirit, right now, that you would help them make that decision. You'd show them their sin. You'd reinforce the word when it says the wages of sin is death. And you draw them to the Savior. Just a second, we're going to stand together and we're going to have an invitation. If you'd like to ask Jesus to be your Savior, I invite you to walk down the aisle. And I'll have somebody take the Bible and from the Bible show you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Father, I pray now you bless this invitation. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.